What do you do when life's tricky, or who do you speak to? That's what I want you to think about. You're picked on at school, and you're being left out. No one's playing with you. What do you do? You've got hurt, and you're alone. What on earth do you do? Who do you talk to in that situation? You're in a situation where you can't do it, or you feel flat, or you're lonely, or you're down. You're up against it. What on earth do you do? Where do you turn? Who do you speak to? Well, Numbers chapter 1 and 2 is the very answer to those problems. Now, when Nathan read it, you may not have noticed that, obviously. I hope by the end of it, when we look at it all together, you'll be like, this is a very exciting chapter of the Bible. This is in my top 10 chapters of the Bible. I think Nathan did very well reading it. It's one of my top 10 passages in the Bible, and I still can't read all the names, but hopefully we'll get through it together, okay? Numbers. Does anyone know what number book of the Bible it is? I won't point who's been saying things. It's number 4. Okay, number 4. The first one's called Genesis, and the word Genesis means the beginning. So that's a good book to have at the start, isn't it? The beginning book you'd find at the beginning. And in Genesis, God made the world. He made everything in it, and it was all good. God made people, and we were made to be in relationship with Him, and it was wonderful and good and great all the time. But sin came into the world and messed it up. Sin came into the world where Adam and Eve decided, I don't want God to be the boss, I want to be the boss. And they pushed Him to one side and they started living their own life, their own way without God. And God told them to leave the garden that He had made for them. They were made as God's people. They were in God's wonderful place, the Garden of Eden. And they were really, really blessed because God was their God, helping them live His way. But He said, get out. Get out. Because of your sin. But God had a plan. And He had a plan, actually, before He made the world, to make a brilliant, big, wonderful, not garden, but land. World, actually, full of His people. Full of blessing, where people could enjoy it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And after that time, they'd carry on enjoying it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, as His people, in His place, forever. And the book of Exodus is part of the answer. And the book of Numbers, we find God's people, and they're massive. God's people are over 1 million people, and God said, I'm going to take you to a special land. I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. You'll be my people, and it will be wonderful forever. Now, the trouble was, this land had other people living in it. Other people lived in the land, and they said, it's not their land, it's my land, it's our land. And Numbers chapter 1 and 2 is a long list of an army. If you want to get someone out of a place, you need to be stronger than them. And what we find in Numbers chapters 1 and 2 is a long list of names, a long list of people suitable to fight in an army. Have a look at verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, the Israelites are to camp around the tent of meeting some distance from it, each of them under their standards, holding the banner of their family. So here's God's people, and they're meant to camp around God. This is God's army. Now, this is a funny old thing. If you're new to church, or if you're new to lots of things, you'll look at this and think, how on earth is that God? And it's not, okay? It's not. I just need to say that up front. But in the Old Testament, God showed a picture of where He was with His people. This is not it. God told His people to make something called the Ark of the Covenant. And it was a box about this big and about this high. And these are angels. And they were meant to be on the top looking like this. Like this. And it was made of solid gold. And it was a picture of God living with His people. Where God's people were, this would be. Now, God doesn't live in a box. God did not live here. But it was a picture that God was here with His people. And Numbers chapter 2 is a beautiful picture of what we're to do as we go through life. Numbers chapter 2 tells us, when you're being picked on at school, when you're lonely and your friends have turned against you, when work is too hard to do, either the maths or the problems in your workplace, this is what to do. So we're going to go through it and look at some of the details. And the big thing I want you to see is, as we go through, I want this question in your head. Where is God? Okay, that's the question. Where is God? Now, I need some volunteers for this. The chapter's full of men. Come on in, Kat, you can be the first volunteer. The chapter's full of men 20 years old and above, okay? Men who could fight. This is Kat, and she meets one of those requirements. She's 20 years plus. 21-ish, is that right? Okay, now have a look at the chapter. Verse 3. Can we have verse 3 up? We get a long list of names. And verse 3 says, on the east. That's the bit I want you to see. On the east. So you're standing on the right side. On the east of where God was, there were all these people. And there were, how many of them? Verse 6, 54,400. Okay? Then there was another lot, 57,400. In total, there were 186,400. Can you pretend to be 186,400 men, please? Okay? Got it in your head. Here's God. And here's 186,400 people. Okay? Next thing, I need another volunteer. Judah? No? Someone? Come on, Jimmy. Up you come. You're wandering around church. Can we have verse 10, please, Annabelle? Verse 10. On the spotter pattern, on the south. So here you go, Jimmy. You can stand here. You can hide a bit behind God. Okay? On the south, there was another whole chunk of God's people. Verse 18, have a guess what might come up. On the west, correct, Nathan. You've done so well, you can stand here. Well done. That's what happens to you if you answer a question. On the west, there were loads more, verse 18. And verse 25, we've got east, south, west. What's coming? North. Well done. Come on up, Katie. Now, in total, there were, have a look at verse 32, please. Have a look at verse 32. Oh, we can't go there. In your Bibles, verse 32. In total, there were 603,550 strong, brave men. And where are they? Where are they? They're all around God. Did you see that? So actually, we read it and we thought it's just a load of numbers and a load of names and I can't get my head around it. But actually, it's a picture of God here in the middle and his people all around him. And the key thing is, they were meant to be looking at him. And they were meant to set their tents up looking at him. So that when they woke up in the morning, what would they realize? God is with us. When they were collecting food during the day, they'd be collecting it from here and there and everywhere, and they'd be looking up, and what would they realize? God is with us. Now, this was an army. So this is what they're to do with their tents and when they get up and when they make their food. But when they go to war, there's something else. So you four might as well stay there. But face everyone, and I want you to do sort of a fighting pose. Excellent, Kat. Jimmy must be like some sort of ninja. Or, like, you always need to worry about the people that don't look tough. They're there for a reason. That's Jimmy at the back. Don't cross him. Now, verse 9, here they are. This is how they're to go out to war. All the men of Judah are assigned to the camp of Judah according to their number. They will be first. So, Jimmy, come out to the front, please. Doesn't look the hardest, but he went to the front. He was the scariest. Next, verse 16, please. All the men, dot, 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 they set out second. Where do you think God's going to be? Anyone? In the middle. God comes in the middle. In verses 24, we get the third lot. Verse 31, we get the next lot. Cat come behind. When they went to war, what was the message that God wanted to be loud and clear, ringing out to them? Anyone? God is with them. Where is he? Right in the middle. Now, go back to your first positions, please. Facing the Ark of the Covenant. What's the message that Numbers 1 and 2 wants us to have ringing in our head? Whatever goes on in life, we need to set up our whole life with God at the center. Because that's where we need to look. He's where we need to look to in prayer when we're struggling. He's where we need to look when we're just doing every normal day things. When Hannah goes to work, it was great that Hannah came up the front. Hannah needs to go to work remembering that God is with her. When you go to school with your kids, you need to remember that God is with you. When you're at home, on your own, watching telly or doing that marking or whatever you're doing, you need to remember that God is with you if you're his people. It's a good message, isn't it? And it's one we need to remember because we often forget, don't we? Nathan opened the service saying, this week he's forgotten quite a lot that God is with him. And I do it, and we all do it, and we miss out. If I remember that God is with me, it will give me confidence to go through my life. God is strong. He made the world. God is kind, and he wants to help you. He wants to help me. And if I remember he's with me, I'll have confidence to go through life. And when it's tough, I will talk to him. Now, one last thing for big people. The end of chapter 1, which I don't think we've got up on the screen, have we? We haven't got it on the screen. End of chapter 1 talks about a group of people called Levites, and they had a special job in the camp. Their job was to say, get back, don't go too close to God. Come on, stand back, you can't go too close to God. Come on, get back, he's too good, he's too wonderful, he's too holy. Stay back, God is dangerous. That was their job, the Levites. You can go grab a seat now, guys. Give them a round of applause. They did very well. Yep. Silly for answering, but well done. Now, the Levites, their job was to say, keep back from God. They were to camp all around him, but they couldn't go too close because of their sin. Now, sin is where I live in God's world and I think I'm the boss. Sin is where I live in God's world and I don't think about him. I push him to one side and I live my own way without him. And the Bible says God is holy. He's perfect and he's pure and he can have nothing to do with people who sin. And that's why the Levites were there with swords saying, please stay back. Please stay back. Now, the message for us is much better than this. Now, the message is God is with us. That's what we need to remember today. God is with us. When life's good, God's with us. When life's bad, God is with us. But the message to us is so much better. Where did they have to stay? Back. They couldn't go close to God because of their sin. But the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ came. God became a man to fix this problem so that we didn't have to stay far from God, but so that we can be close to God. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he lived a perfect life. He was so loving, so kind, so helpful to everyone all the time, yet he got killed. He got killed on the cross, and he knew it would happen to him. He predicted it over and over again. I've come and I'm going to die. I've come and I'm going to die. I've come and I'm going to die. And then they killed him. Now, why did he die? Well, he died on a cross deliberately to make it so the problem of being distant from God was sorted. What stops me being friends with God? Sin. Jesus Christ got rid of sin so I can be friends with God. And not friends in a silly way in a box. Jesus Christ came and he made it so we can be closer to God than you can ever imagine. If you're trusting in Jesus, if you're following Jesus, the Bible says God lives in heaven and he lives in your heart. The reality for a Christian is that God could not be closer to you ever. He lives right inside your heart and there he is helping you. There he is wanting to be with you. Well, not wanting to be with you because he is with you, but there he is and he wants you to look to him and talk to him and draw on him all the way through your life when it's good and when it's bad, when you're happy and when you're sad. Remember that God is with you. Talk to him. Ask him to help you. Now, the people in the desert, they had their tents set up so they could see God. There they were, bleary-eyed, came out. That's not a tent noise. That's like a door opening. Can anyone do a zip noise? It's quite a hard noise. They didn't have zips. But so they opened their curtains, and out they would go, and up they would look, and there would be God. First thing they saw in the morning would be God. Now, it is much better that God lives in my heart than in a box in the middle of the desert. But it's harder to see. And what we need to do is we need to set up ways in our lives to remember that God is in us, that God is with us. Now, lots of Christians, day by day, they wake up and they read their Bible. I find that a very helpful way to remember that God is with me. God is strong and he's kind and I can look to him and I can talk to him and he can help me. Other things in our house we do, we have posters set up because we're not as clever as you're remembering. So in our lounge we've got random posters with things like love God, trust God, God is with you. I find it very helpful when I wake up to see one of the kids' posters and think, oh yeah, that is true. In our bathroom by the mirror that I look in every day when I, well, I don't shave every day, but when I do my teeth, I look in the mirror and I've got a small thing there to remind me that God is with me. I've got a cross at the top to remember that Jesus died to save me. Why have I got those things? Well, it's the same reason that they pitched their tents facing where God was. Because we forget. We forget that God's with us, and we're stupid to do that. I'm stupid to do that. Why would you not remember that God is with you? Why would you not remember to talk to him? And when you're lonely, when you're afraid, when you're sad, when you're in trouble, why would you forget that he's with you? And why would you forget to ask him to help you? It's true that we do, isn't it? So let's build things in our lives to remember God is with us. Where is he? He's with us. God is with us. God is with you. If you're one of his people, you cannot be closer to God than you are right now. God is with you. Do you know that? He's right with you, in you. Whether you walk that way, whether you walk that way, whether you go to work, when you lay down to bed, where is God if you're one of his people? He's with you. Let's get it into our heads so that we get it into our hearts and remember and ask him to help us. I'm going to leave it there. Why don't you just think for a moment by yourselves or talk to the people next to you? How can you remember this? Because there is nothing more fantastic that happens in your life other than God being with you. Why don't you talk to people next to you or think by yourself just a moment and then I'll pray.